The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Power of the music.
Yeah, buddy.
The original soundtrack. Phantom of the Opera. Mike is happy. New York is happy. 11 people in the audience. They're all happy. But as the news came of the reopening of Broadway this fall and tickets on sale like this morning, Mike immediately texts me back and tells me about a community of people decidedly not happy. And that would be Mike?
Well, the people that work on Broadway. But incidentally, to your quick point, I just, for grins, tried to order Phantom of the Opera tickets online. You know me. You knew I would. Wicked is supposed to be on sale. Neither show is on sale right now. So there's such confusion. First of all, the whole New York community is like, Cuomo has lost his mind. He made an announcement that was premature. It was wrong. We're not ready, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know.
When you say the Broadway community, the people who actually work to put on, it's reminiscent of teachers, the people who should be in the classroom, who should be just clawing and scratching to get into the classroom. That's like this Broadway version. Actors, set designers, they're all
the musicians,
hesitant.
The ushers.
They hate the reopening of Broadway? What?
It's a union thing. It's a union thing. It's just like the teachers union. It is a union thing. And remember what a typical New Yorker is right now. They're in the fetal position, hiding in their tiny apartment, trembling, waiting for COVID to come get them. They are terrified in New York. It is the strangest thing you'll ever witness. I'm telling you, it's bizarre. And so with that in mind, a lot of these performers have no desire to go back to work. They've got, I mean, I was reading about a lady that I listened to on Sirius XM. I'm a big fan of that Broadway channel. And there's a voiceover lady named Christine Petty, and she's great, and she's losing her vision. She's going blind. She's a young woman. And the Actors Fund, which I contribute to, has put her up in a Actors Fund supplied housing. They have a huge outreach, charitable outreaches, to actors and musicians and performers. I mean, and I'm not saying that these people don't ever want to work. I'm just saying right now they're terrified. They don't want to go back to work, and they think Cuomo's announcement was preposterous. They don't understand it.
I just don't even know how to process that.
In it's the hard rest to wrap
of the
your brain
in the state
it.
Where you are, Florida, in the state where I am, Texas, we're talking about all kinds of, now are we going to be, you know, nut to butt in a concert venue next week? No, but we're talking about by the fall of this year that maybe we can put some people in a Broadway theater and they're, I don't know, they get,
I know.
It's
the teachers union pushback, the American Federation of Teachers, is the best example of this. You're right. They're the first ones that ought to be ready to go. And they're not. They don't want to. And listen, for a lot of people outside of the theater community or the performing arts, this is a matter of being able to work from home. Listen, a lot of companies are going to. Do you know how much money companies can save by keeping people to work remotely? Mm-hmm. You're going to lose rent. You got landlords impacted. You're going to have, you know. So this is going to be an interesting thing to see over the next few months. What I think, though, my gut tells me, and I believe I'm right on this, when stuff opens, when this finally starts to happen, it's going to happen in a blink of an eye. It's going to be quick. There's nothing even gradual about this. They're going to be scrambling to keep up with the demand. Already we know that air travel is at epic highs over the summer. Good luck. Call Delta. Call American. You better get ready to wait because they don't have enough people, and they got a lot of demand. So that kind of stuff is a good sign. You see great things. How about an interesting thing on my elevator in my apartment building this morning? Mm-hmm. The sign requiring masks is down. And the lady next to me, oh my gosh, she said, where's the mask sign? She started hyperventilating, and she turns to me with terrified eyes. I mean, you remember, I'm in St. Pete. It ain't exactly, you know, Keller. She looks at me, and she says, please keep your mask on.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, I almost ripped it off. I thought, just to have some fun, I'm going to rip it off and just laugh. But I thought,
give her a big old kiss.
Just laugh. Or maybe a big sneeze.
No.
Just rip it off and cough.
don't be that guy. We were talking to somebody. I heard somebody in the restaurant industry, and it was the conversation was about whether the waiters and wait staff are wearing masks. And around here in DFW, there are certain restaurants that are starting to tell the wait staff. Step one seems to be to tell the wait staff, you can wear a mask if you want to, which is interesting, which sounds kind of like from my book. I mean, that sounds fine. But then the clientele gets a weird thing because they don't know upon arrival whether they're going to get a masked server or not. And some people absolutely want one. Some people absolutely don't. And other people don't care. So I think restaurants are at the point where they pretty well need to make a binary choice. Our servers are going to wear masks or they are not going to wear masks. And so an increasing number are simply going mask-free for the servers, which creates two instant reactions. Some people going, yes, freedom, and other people going, I ain't ready to go in there yet. And that's the free marketplace too.
And, you know, we're all just going to have to take our own path on this. I mean, last night, man, Tucker Carlson monologue, the whole monologue was casting shade on the vaccines.
Yep.
And that just that just makes people, I mean, everybody on social media was saying he's just wanting to get fired. He just wants to get canceled. You know, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed. The machine doesn't let you question these things. And that should be problematic to everybody. On the other hand, I mean, listen, you come on after a guy, our colleague, every 5 minutes, Hewitt is saying you must get the vaccine. We have to get the vaccine. If we don't get everybody vaccinated, we're not going to get herd immunity. It's not going to be, and it's a public service, and you got to be patriotic and yada, yada, yada. All the 10-minute monologue last night was remarkable. I don't even dare play clips of it. I'm afraid they'll come arrest me. You saw what he said about the deaths? That he was claiming that this site that tracks vaccine reactions, I think it's VARS, V-A-R-S.
Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's claiming that there have been a few thousand deaths so far from the COVID vaccine, and then he compared it to, like, the swine flu vaccine and the regular flu vaccine. That was, you know, way more than normal. But then everybody, all I saw last night online were people saying, wait a minute, Tucker, they acknowledge and they have a disclaimer that they don't necessarily connect those deaths that are
correct
to the vaccine.
Not only do they not necessarily do it, an unbelievably infinitesimal percentage of them have been connected to the vaccine. I love Tucker. I want his monologues protected. I don't think he is in danger of being fired by Fox, but that was some reckless horse crap at the top of that show. The VAERS is a passive reporting system. VAERS, as it should be, it's every human being that ever gets the shot and ever has anything happen from a left eye twitch to a death. We want to hear about it. They say, tell us, and then we'll take a look at that massive fog of data and see if in there's any connection between something in the vaccine and something bad that happened to somebody. Tucker's rant was essentially, we are being shielded from horrible death news. It was a terrible, reckless monologue from Tucker Carlson. But guess what? He gets to do it. I bet X percent of people just love the hell out of it, and that's fine too. So let him say it, let them love it, and let people watch what they want to watch. I love Tucker, except kind of on this issue. And I just to go back, do you think that he's under pressure? I think Fox loves this. Fox is earning back some cred, you know, from some like ultra, you know, mega conservatives.
It's a good question. I want to go though to your rant. I want to first of all defend your rant because, you know, what I like is the fact that you're right. He gets to express this. He should not be taken off the air because he has a commentary that people might think is reckless or crap. And you get to react the way you just reacted. Nobody should take you off.
That's the way America should be.
But that's not the way America's working, Mark. And that's what's frustrating. The video platform Vimeo has erased Mike Lindell. Vimeo, as of Wednesday afternoon, has taken him down. Mike told, in a brief phone interview, told the Daily Beast, this is worse than what Twitter did to me and my company. This affects my business, the Lindell Recovery Network, which is a great outreach he's got for addicts, and the entrepreneurs who I work with. They've taken down Mike Lindell's presence. They've erased him from Vimeo. So that's the last social media platform, I think, that he's been on that he hasn't been removed. Now, guess what? That's wrong. Yesterday's Facebook doubling down on the Trump ban.
Yep.
That's wrong. It's like the phone company. I mean, the idea that if you are denied service with the phone company, you know what I mean? That you're not allowed.
I do. And my guy, I love State Senator Brian Hughes, deployed that with me. And because this is killing me. As a conservative, we all know that we're being muted and we're being censored and we're being sidelined by these fascist platforms. But doggone it, man, I don't know what the solution is. Government telling them whom they can and cannot get rid of? What if they get rid of somebody who deserves to be gotten rid of? Every once in a while, you do get one of those.
But what happens when they get rid of all the people that shouldn't be gotten rid of? What do you do with the phone company kicking people off?
It's not the phone company.
But look at it as the phone company. Why do you ignore that?
Well,
if Verizon started lining up, you got options with Verizon. You don't have to use Verizon, go to AT&T.
Exactly.
Listen to me. Hear me out. If Verizon started saying, we're not going to allow conservatives to buy our phones or be on our network, you going to be all right with that?
Well,
and it's not legal, Mark. It's not legal.
I would go to AT&T. I would go to T-Mobile. I mean, I have...
Wait a minute. Are you okay with Verizon saying no conservatives allowed?
I'd be disgusted by that. So the solution here, you know, Mr. Conservative, Mr. Liberty, which we supposedly are, is we're going to tell Verizon... I mean, the way I deal with life is people do what they want to do in a free country, and I may love it, I may hate it, and if I hate it, I'll go somewhere else.
But
the problem with social media is sitting here with these phone companies is there are a bunch of equal footing phone companies. There is no other Facebook. There is no other Twitter, and that's where the best point against this censorship is you can't go start another Twitter in your backyard.
But you're glossing over the fact that we do regulate Verizon. I know you don't like it. You're conservative purity test is anything goes, and I get it. I respect that, but it's a dinosaur opinion, Mark. Because
you've got to apply
the same standard to Facebook and Twitter that you do to the phone company.
I'm begging for
public
for
utility.
Somebody to maybe the DeSantis move in Florida and the Brian Hughes bill in Texas.
Oh,
maybe
I'll
it's
tell
a
you
step toward that.
I'll give you to the move.
Identify them as good.
2022, we win, and Congress takes this on. Congress has to take this on. Enough is enough. They don't get to be the arbiter of speech, Mark. They don't.
Then help me out with one last thing, because I so want to attach myself to this. Let's say there is some virulent, terrible, just maybe not the most obvious, grotesque thing in the world, but something that is... where you could gather 100 people and 55 or 60 of them would say, man, that's terrible. That should get you banned. All right. And Twitter or Facebook bans them. And then that person rears up and goes, First Amendment, Mike Gallagher says I can't be banned. What do you do with that person?
It's a straw man argument.
But that's
purely hypothetical. That's right.
Answer the hypothetical.
What's happening. You're using something to try to... It would totally happen. You're pivoting away from this.
I'm giving you a question you can't answer because you
sure
don't want to.
I just told you 10 times. I'm telling you, Congress should be regulating and breaking up these Twitter, Facebook monopolies. The way they regulate the phone company. Full stop. That's it. So that if the
person I've described, who maybe you and even I would agree that, boy, that's somebody who deserves to get banned. And that person, how would that person be denied his opportunity to say, hey, First Amendment, Mike Gallagher says I can't be banned?
How do you defend Verizon saying that person needs to be banned for their speech?
Stop changing the subject.
It's not. That's the subject. It's like you're ignoring me.
Deserve to be.
Is this thing on? Is this mic on? Do you hear me?
Nobody will ever be banned again. Nobody will ever be banned again.
Wait a minute.
By Facebook or Twitter.
Do you like the regulations on the phone company?
Phone company. I don't care. Phone company.
You don't care. So you know you can't ban somebody from Verizon based on the government regulations.
Exactly. So I just don't know if the government regulation of social media works. I don't know if that works. In this happy la-la land, oh, we're going to give it to social media. They're mean. We don't like the Twitter Unabomber guy. So we're going to make that where he, you know, I'm
going to say this with love. You're blind on this because you want to play in that filthy sandbox. You just can't get off of it. No, no, you're blind to this.
I'm not.
Because you know what? You can't be okay with what's going on now. I know you better than that.
I hate what's going on.
Well, then stand up. Then stand up.
There's a principle I can't get past.
Oh, well, there's.
I want help in getting past it, and I need better help.
Let them win.
And I need better help than you're giving me.
Let them win. No, I'm giving you all the help you need, and you ought to see my text messages. Go open your phone lines. No, listen to your audience. Listen, we're trying to talk some sense into you on this.
Sometimes, okay, no, I love you. All right,
I love you too. We're way over.
Criminally late.
Goodbye.
Love you to death. Here comes Mike. He's ready. He's going to bag on me at 10, and I love it. It'll be
can't
great.
Wait.
My Twitter feed will lighten up. All right, listen, 7:55, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. He is.